I want to talk to you today about ordained ministers and ordained ministry. Okay? Yesterday I was on the phone, and we have a kid's car that we got. It's a white Mercedes. And I needed to get a little charger for it. So I got on Amazon and got a charger for it. Now, a few weeks earlier, we needed to get a charger for our minivan, which is a hybrid, you know, has the big EV kind of charger that plugs into it. Well, it ended up, the way things went, we ended up with two minivan chargers. And I won't go into the details of that too long, but just one was going to get sent back. So I'm out on Friday, and I've got the charger in the box, and I'm heading to Kohl's to send it back to Amazon. And I pull into Kohl's, and I get on my phone, and I do this little thing that you have to do to get a little QR code to pop up to say this is going back. And then you just walk in, you show them the QR code, and they take the box, and they say thank you, and off you go. And so I did. I pulled up, got the charger on there, and showed them, and they were like, fine, and left the EV charger there and headed to actually John's house. I took some stuff over to John. And then later that evening, I got a notification that they had already credited my account for the charger. It just happened to be the charger for the white Mercedes toy car. Because I pulled up the wrong QR code trying to send back a charger, and I was in a hurry, and I just looked down, charger, yep, boom, 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 boom. And I didn't look at the details. So now I got to call and do something because I don't have an EV charger to send back in, which is 10 times the amount of the other charger. And I don't have a way of sending the one I've got back because I've already used the little charger. I thought if I could send it back, that would be easier than I could just buy another one later. And then they would just... But anyway, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, is this going to go all the way to the person who actually, because it wasn't sold directly by Amazon, but sold through Amazon, is it going to go all the way back to them before anything happens? And the people with the little toy charger are going to get this great big box, and they're going to go, what is this? And I thought, I look like an idiot, because I am. So I called and got a hold of a guy named Lance. And Lance was fantastic. He got everything taken care of. Honestly, I had called twice, and the first person I talked to, there was a little bit of a language barrier. Have you ever had that experience? And I just couldn't quite get what she was saying, and she didn't, I don't think, get what I was saying. But Lance took such good care of me, and when he was done, I said, God bless you, Lance. Thank you so much. Can I prophesy over you that you are going to be a good asset to this company. And not only that, but I believe you're going to be a supervisor before very long. In fact, here's what I would like to do. I would love to talk to a supervisor there to tell them how wonderful you were today. Is that even possible? And he goes, I don't know. And he says, hang on. So he hangs on and gets a supervisor on, and I just raved about Lance because he was so good. He did such a wonderful job. And I told her, I know that people call you all the time and you get people who are rude to you, but I just want to bless you. I just want you to know that this was a wonderful experience today. So God bless you and everyone there. And she was thankful and Lance was thankful. And afterwards, I realized I had ministered prophecy, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Wow. Think about that. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. I'm just going to move back here and see if it gets any better. All right. So, if you've been around Bethel any amount of time, you've heard us talk about the importance of the testimony. You've heard us mention that the testimony is the prophecy, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You're aware of these things, and you've heard us talk about what it means to be part of this church in particular. We are Bethel. We are a house of God. you know, we've never had this problem for weeks and months. Well, they'll work on it. It's just really weird. So I'm just ethereal today. If you hear, they probably aren't hearing this online. They're like, what is he saying? There's a little bit of reverb in the house. So you guys probably aren't hearing it online. So you're blessed. Anyway, we are the house of God. That is, together we become Beth El, house of God. But each of us are also individually a house of God. You realize that, right? Like, Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He's dwelling inside of you. God is dwelling in you, and you are a house of God. And so that's why we've kind of, you know, gone from just Bethel to be the one. It's in our logo. You can see it. So all this got me thinking. Sometimes we have these ideas about different things. We think we know what we know, but sometimes we don't know what we don't know. Or what we know is in part, but we've emphasized the in part so much that the extra stuff that God would like to do gets left off and we come up short. And so we also talk a lot about making an effort to renew our minds. And, you know, sometimes in order to renew your mind, you have to get rid of some old stuff. And so I want to start out doing that today when it comes to the word ministry. Because I think sometimes we have this picture in our mind that needs clarified. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll go to verses 11 through 16 and read those together. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Everybody say, every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I could spend hours and hours here, but we've only got just a little bit of time left today, and so I want to get right after this. Who are the ordained ministers in this passage? Did you hear me when I read it? Yeah, everybody's afraid to answer because they know they're going to be wrong. A lot of people, if you ask them who the ordained ministers are in this passage, they would say, well, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But that is not what the passage says. What? It says that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are there for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. I think that there's still a renewing of the mind of the Church of Jesus Christ that needs to take place, because a lot of us have been in systems. A lot of us have grown up around things where there was certain people who got to do certain things because they were special. And they were amazing, and they had done this, and they had done that, and they'd gone through this, and they'd gone through that. And because they were super special, they got to do ministry. And I want to get rid of that today. That concept needs to change. A while back, I heard a woman saying that she was now in this ministry. And she had been hoping to get into ministry for many years of her life, a couple of decades, in fact. But she had only been a nurse. And I was both sad and disgusted. Because she's been being cheated out of ministry for 20 years. For 20 years, she hasn't realized that she is called by God, waiting on a day when she could enter into the ministry. Too many people think they have to be something like a youth pastor or a worship leader or a preacher to be in ministry. And I'm sad for those people. I really am. Because they don't know that those are not ministries. You don't have a ministry of a preacher. You don't have a ministry of a youth pastor. You don't have a ministry of a worship leader. Those aren't ministries. We're saying it wrong. Do I sound like a maniac today? I am. I'm on a mission. Your ministry is that you serve a loving God and worship Him every day. And out of that, He gives you things to do. And it might be something that you don't even think is ministry, but it could be ministry. It could be, and it should be ministry. Those are just activities, those things that we sometimes call ministries, those are just activities in the realm of ministry. And God can have you 1 minute leading worship in front of thousands, and a little bit later cleaning the toilet as unto the Lord because somebody needs a clean toilet, and you have the ability. Is this making sense to anybody? See, what I want to do at the beginning of 2025 is ordain you to do your existing ministry. Wow. And you don't have to wait. Like, it's amazing how many people I've seen and over the years, and I think there's even scriptural precedence for it, of people who got saved and immediately started in the ministry. They started ministering. Paul did. The Apostle Paul is the first and foremost of examples of that. He got excited about God because he got touched, and he started telling everybody. By the way, that was kind of what happened to me. I got touched in a meeting, and they had these invitations that we could take, and I grabbed a fistful of them, took them to school the next day, first day of the week, put them on the desks of everybody in my class. And I was already so vocal that they knew it was me. And they didn't have to ask. My name wasn't on the invitations, but they were there. And I put them on every desk, and I went out in the hallway and was talking to people about Jesus, and I came back in, and all of them were back on my desk. And I couldn't stop talking about what God had done for me. And I entered into my ministry and didn't even know that it was a ministry. Our ministry is living as much as we can for Jesus and to Jesus every moment of our lives. And under that definition of ministry, all of us already have a ministry. And we are all ordained to that purpose. You know, I ended up in full-time ministry because I just started ministering. It's what happened. I just everywhere I went, I was trying to find an opportunity to use whatever I was doing to glorify God and bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I was this crazy Jesus freak, hippie, grew his long hair long to be a Christian kind of a kid. And pretty soon, over a period of years, people started to notice, and I started to be asked to share my testimony and share a brief message or a word or a scripture or something, because I was already sharing them anyway. Might as well let him. Who's going to stop this crazy guy? And I was entering into my ministry without even knowing that I was in a ministry. But I just wanted to do what God wanted me to do every time I got a chance to do it. And I've said this before. I was working at Kroger, and I would get my paycheck to compare it to other guys, and we would look down, and I'd say, that guy signed it, but that's not who I got this from. I got it from God. I was always testifying about God's provision and who God was and what he meant to me and what he did in my life. So it's really no wonder that at some point some people in ministry looked at me and go, hey, come here with us. And at some point, it became my vocation. Although, so you'll know, since it first happened in 1981, where I was a pastor, actually 1980, we went into full-time ministry in a band called Judah. We were going to be the next Petra, but we didn't do it. And since it happened at that time of my life, I've also worked. And I'm telling people now that I believe that's apostolic because the Apostle Paul sometimes made tents and took care of his own expenses so that he could spread the gospel. And there have been times when I've had to work, and I was happy to do it. Once when we were in southern Indiana, I cut my salary in half at the church and joined up with an organization as a chaplain that was going into homes, a home health care agency, and I went in and visited people in the home health care agency that were workers, and I also went to people they knew needed someone to come and see them. And I gave the half of my salary with some other money to our full-time youth pastor, because I felt like we needed that. We had a bunch of kids, my son and my daughter being two of them. My certificate of ordination is just a piece of paper stating, by the way, that an organization has recognized that I'm called of God. And I mean literally. If I show you, I've got two of them. The first one that I got, 1986, was an organization, and it says on there, in recognition of God ordaining this person. God ordains us to do stuff. Some people just recognize it. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. Sometimes credentials are really handy, useful, important. Paul used to send letters and say, hey, I'm sending you this guy and this guy. That was their certificate of ordination. But nobody's ever actually ordained me. They've just recognized that I was ordained. And I'm telling you today, God has ordained you to do some things that I'll never be able to do. God has ordained you to reach some people I'll never be able to reach. God has ordained you to minister some ways that I could never minister to some of your family or your friends that I'll never touch. I'm not a pastor because I'm an ordained minister. I'm a minister who pastors as part of his ministry. So I've said that a few times now, and I hope you're getting it. You are all ministers. If you're here and you've received a license or ordination certificate, would you mind to stand up real quick? So we can, there you go. Thank you. And I appreciate that these people have probably done some work to get that, because a lot of the organizations have certain qualifications, and I understand that to a degree too, because when you give someone a certificate representing an organization and you're that organization, you want to make sure that you're not just giving it to just anybody who maybe needs a little bit of encouragement in some things first, because they got something backwards. But these people are not more ordained for the work of the ministry than the rest of you. I am not more ordained for the work of the ministry than the rest of you just because I have a certificate. I'm ordained by God to do what God gave me to do, and if I will do that, probably somebody will want to give me a certificate. But whether they give me a certificate or not, I'm ordained by God to do what God has called me to do. And that has been everything from preaching in front of large crowds and singing in front of large crowds to cleaning out a toilet in front of no crowds or digging a ditch or whatever I had to do to meet the need that was there. We, by the way, have some very credentialed people in our congregation. Did you know, she's not here today, but did you know that Betsy Carter and her husband, Brian, there we go. My brain wasn't working for a second. Both have Masters of Divinity from a college in Lansing, Michigan. Masters of Divinity. And by the way, she took my place over at Mercy. They asked me to do some work over there as a chaplain. I'm still an on-call chaplain, but I don't usually do any day shift. She took a couple of days a week, was doing that over there, and it's been such a blessing to her family. And I'm really glad that that worked out, because I gave it up thinking something else was going to happen, and the thing that I thought was going to happen didn't happen, so I shouldn't have, wouldn't have had to have given it up, but I'm glad she's doing it. And she is so well liked and loved by the staff and the powers that be over there and the patients. They have such a wonderful time with her going around and ministering to them. Now, that being said, she has another ministry that very few people that I've ever heard of have. I've not known personally any other people, personally, I know there are them, but I've not known any other person who had the ministry that she's had for several years now. She's ordained to it, and it's pretty amazing ministry. It's called Raising Triplets. How many of you don't want that ministry? Listen, if God wants you to have that ministry, you want that ministry. You may not know you want that ministry, but, and I would be willing to bet that if I were to ask, she would tell me, yes, that MDiv degree that she got really hasn't done much in the way of helping her raise triplets. All those hoops she jumped through to get that degree probably really didn't enhance the ability to change three diapers all day long, all the time. I bet that was a lot of work. And those of you who have had kids, especially if you've had a couple close together where they're still both in diapers, woohoo! Three. Wow. I got somebody else that I want to mention to you too, and he's not here today either. Family stuff. How many of you know there are lingering Christmas family things going on? It's okay. It's first Sunday of the year, but I get it. But there's a guy in our church named Mark Schnittke. And I'm pretty sure he hasn't received any kind of paperwork as a minister. Don't think he's been ordained or licensed or any of those kind of things. Now, if he wanted one, we have actually the ability to do that because of who and how we're structured as a church. And we could give him one. But I want to read from 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. It says, Paul speaking to Timothy, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. When I read this verse, I think of Mark. Have you guys noticed he's a little evangelistic? A little. Yeah, he really is. And he ministers in a workplace, and he does amazing things there. He's prayed for people for healing. He's prayed for people to receive Christ. He's had a lot of stuff going on. And it's in that place that, at least for now, God seems to be fulfilling the ministry in his life. May not be forever. But when I think of Mark, I also think of something that Kurt brought up last week in his message. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, we read this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? That I, the Son of Man, am. So they said, some say John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, some people take that rock to be Peter, but the two words actually there for Peter and rock are not both. They're one's pebble and one's big rock. And the rock is the revelation that Peter had. That's what we're building the church on. We're building the church on the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And so I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, some versions say hell, will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay, are you ready? Last week, Kurt was talking about this briefly, and he mentioned that gates are not moving objects. They're fixed, which means the gates are not attacking us. The gates of hell are not attacking us. There may be something behind those gates of hell that have been loosed, and actually, I don't think the demons are spending a lot of time in hell right now. Some people think that, you know, Satan sets up shop in hell and he has board meetings down there and then sends them out from there. I'm not sure that's really the way it works. And we could do a whole bunch of study on Hades and hell and Sheol. And I've said this several times. You do realize that none of you are going to spend eternity. You're all going to heaven. No one is going to spend eternity in hell. It's the lake of fire. Well, what's the difference? Well, there is a difference, and sometimes that confuses people. We're not going to go into all that today, but the point is the gates of hell are not attacking us. And I've spoken about this before. There's actually a message back in 2022 on earth as it is in hell. We always talk about how on earth as it is in heaven, you know, that's what we want to see. We want to bring heaven to earth. Well, there are demonic forces out there that are trying to bring hell on earth. And so that's the battle that we're in. Our ministry is to deliver people who are caught behind the gates of hell. So our ministry is gate crashers. You're supposed to be, see, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Are you the church? Yes, we as a group are the church, but you individually are the church. You get to be the one to go kick down the gate and go find somebody who's stuck behind some kind of a gate that's holding them back, something they can't get through so that they can get free. And your job, my job, is to try to bust down those gates. And literally, if you will, are you ready for this? Sometimes you're going into a hell of a situation. And you're going into hell and it's not pleasant, but you're there on a mission. Do you know that Jesus went to Hades? And he took captivity captive. He rescued souls. We talk about this all the time at this church. What Jesus did is what we're supposed to do. So we have opportunities to bust down the gates of hell, march into hell, rescue people from the hell they're in, and bring them out. Somebody says, what are you telling us? I'm telling you to go to hell. Get it? Not to stay there, not to live there, not to dwell there, but to go there. And sometimes that's not easy. I get it. Next time someone tells you to go to hell, by the way, consider it an invitation. Oh, okay. Obviously, you need me to go there on your behalf and get you free. Right? Woo! You have weapons of your warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I've never told a congregation to go to hell before. A couple of times I thought about it, but no, I've never done that. I don't know. Should I entitle this message on YouTube and Facebook? Should it, just, you know, when we put it up there and do the edited copy, should it be entitled Go to Hell? You know, Pastor Tim tells his people to go to hell. If you're super offended, you just need to get saved is what you need to do because you're not understanding what your calling is. You're not understanding the depth and the power of what you're supposed to do. Some of you will go into a hell I'll never go into because I can't. It's not ordained by God that I go into certain places that are hell on earth for some people. But you get to go there every day, some of you. Right? Some of you have jobs that are like hell on earth. And you're praying for deliverance when you ought to be praying for success. And sometimes your jobs are not fun. That's why they may actually be the work of the ministry. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. If you're waiting for hell to be pleasant all the time, if you wake up some days going, oh, my job is hell, go, thank you, Jesus. Somebody needs saved. Somebody needs set free. I'm there for you. And by the way, if you get your job done, guess what he'll do? He'll promote you. Right? So we gather together week after week to equip you for the work of the ministry. If you think we just gather together to make you feel better, I think you've missed the whole point. I want you to feel better when you leave here. I really do. But I want you to feel better because you came in needing your tank filled up, needing your gun reloaded, needing supplies. I want you to come in here needing encouraged, but go out ready to go wherever you've got to go to reach the people that you've got to reach so that the kingdom of God will be effectively transforming the world that we're in. How many of you can watch the evening news, right, and see plenty of hell? So what if God's people came to a revelation that the gates of hell will not prevail against them? And started realizing that when you go through those gates Monday morning, at whatever time you go in, it might be that day that you take someone out of the bondage that they were put in by a lying, awful, horrible devil and set them free. It might only happen incrementally, day after day, week after week, month after month. But if you go in there with the heart of God, stuff can begin to change. And by the way, if you know what your ministry is, well, I'm not here to just make you feel good and send you out. I promise you, you get properly equipped and you'll start feeling better. And every time you see a victory and every time you see a little breakthrough and every time and you come back and you get some more equipment and then you go back out, you're going to start to feel like, wait a minute, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it starts to become real in your life. So let me ask you a question. Do you dread going to work? I'm not going to look. If you do, one of two things is happening. Either you are working a job that God never intended you to work because it's not part of your ministry and God has a ministry for you someplace and this ain't it. Or your ministry has become about you instead of about God and you are going to have a hard time finding joy in it. You can have the job of Scrooge McDuck in the comic book strip, diving into pools of coins and dollar bills and swimming in it and just have it up to your eyeballs and be rich, rich, rich. Have you noticed a lot of the rich people are not happy? Because they're not doing what God called them to do. They're actually behind the gates of hell in a big pool of false riches. I've heard people say, I just work there for the money. Yeah, so do prostitutes. That scares me when Christians say it. Just saying. If every Christian would start seeing their work as worship, which, by the way, is one of the definitions in the Hebrew language, work is a form of worship. And if we would just all minister to everyone around us, I don't think it would take revival any time at all to transform our world. And there's already, have you noticed, a lot of revival going on. It's breaking out in college campuses and high school campuses, and it could break out because of you. And yes, we do gather together regularly for your benefit. We do that every week. And no matter who's speaking or teaching, we need this experience to be equipped for the work of the ministry that God's called us to. And we need to be cognizant that I do come here to get what I need to get so I can keep doing what God's given me to do. And if I'm just living my life for me and not doing anything, yeah, I'll just come and get a little tickle on your spine and out you go to do nothing. But if you come in really seeking God to pour into your life and to give you more, not more just for you, but more for the ministry that he's called you to, and looking to understand what that ministry looks like and how it works and when it works and all the things that go with it, you're going to find yourself blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. Some of you may have noticed I sent out a little video last night. I was encouraging everybody in the church to hear every message that goes out of this church for the year 2025. You know you can. It's not rocket science. It's not that hard to do. In fact, a little bit ago, I had forgotten, you know, did you see me during the, I didn't mean to ignore the people who were giving good testimonies, but during the testimonies, I was really quick grabbing the link that sends people on Facebook to our YouTube page, and I was getting it all done. I need to teach everybody in the church to do that. You should share where this message is, you know, or that this message is going on your pages, on your social media. You should help people get connected. Why? Because something that's said here by one of the speakers here might just be the one thing they need to hear on one day, and they hear it and their life is changed. Isn't that an amazing thought? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess it's not. I thought you'd be more excited about that. Oh, you mean I have to learn to use, oh, it's just so, technology is so hard. The good news is, at least for those of us who are here, we are sending you. Did we send that out this morning, Matt? Did we send out the link this morning? We didn't get it done today, did we? Yeah, I didn't get one. Okay, we'll send it out after the fact. We're going to try to get a little bit better on our end of the technology, so all you have to do is just open up your phone and go, oh, well, I already heard that. But if you didn't, you can go, oh. By the way, you can go to our website and catch up on anything you've missed. Just go to BethelDefiance.com, click on resources, and there'll be audio and video. One takes you to YouTube, the other just opens up for you. It's great. I listen to a lot of stuff. This morning, I got up early. Message was all in the can, ready to go, knew what I wanted to say today, and I went downstairs to exercise. And while I was exercising, I listened to Steve Backlund, one of the guys from out at Reading that I really enjoy. Steve's been here. Some of you remember. And I heard something that really stuck with me this morning, but that, if I go there, I'll be preaching another message. By the way, I've heard, I think, every message this year for 2024, this past year, that was up on Bethel's app. They got morning and evening. And a couple times they didn't have evening, but most of the time they have both. And I hear them all. Because I need equipped. I need it too. So for 2025, I am proposing that we all try to listen to everything that God is speaking to us out of this house, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, God has called you here, right? Are you sure? If God's called you here, and maybe here is where you want to, you know, you want to get it. You want to get tied in. Yeah, whatever that is, that's good. You can't get the people to say amen, you just get the phone to do it for you. It's great. For me, I'm just going to say this for me, missing opportunity to become better equipped is just stupid. You know, I don't settle on what little bit of education I've had already. My, you know, my education is not some great big well-known theological seminary thing with an MDiv. I barely graduated from What's the Matter You. You know, I stole that from somebody else. But it's, you know, I've actually taught in Bible schools, but my Bible school education was an online situation. And by the way, just because someone has a certificate of ordination that he got online doesn't mean that they're really, anybody can get that. By the way, if you really wanted a certificate of ordination, if you got a good reason, I'll give you one. If you don't have a good reason, I can send you to a website for $12.95. You can get one. But for me, missing opportunities to be equipped would be stupid, and most of you know that I believe that the word sin and the word stupid are pretty much synonymous, because when I'm sinning, I'm just being stupid, because I'm believing that I want to do that when I don't want to do that, because if I wanted to do that, it would be God's calling on my life to do that. And if God's not calling me to do it, then I'm probably doing something stupid. Even if it seems like it's good, it might be stupid. So this year, God wants you to be the one who takes your ministry seriously and takes your ministry to the next level. And next year, God will want you to take your ministry to the next level. And the year after that, God will want you to take your ministry to the next level. My mom and dad did a lot of things over the years. They used to do lay witness mission. They used to run all over the countryside with different people and do revivals and different things. But interestingly, they ended up at Kingsbury Place here in town. Do you know they were still ministering to some people there? Mom, not as much because she was having a little trouble with her cognitive function. But dad was still blessing people. And some of you remember my dad. How he'd walk around and greet people and make people feel welcome. He was really good at that. It was like it was his ministry or something. When Dad was doing lay witness missions and going around from church to church to church as a young man, dragging his kids in tow, that ministry was not more important than what he did at Kingsbury. Get it? Whatever you're doing right now, it's important. And if you're supposed to get out of that, God will direct you out of it to another ministry. But you're in ministry. You're in ministry. You're in ministry. Every day you're in ministry. Marlene just retired, so she's now in the retirement ministry. She's going to have opportunities to minister to people that she didn't have where she was. But she tried to minister to people where she was. I know about it. Cord Earhart is in ministry. Every day he goes in and tries to help those kids get their math problems solved. But then he also ends up in relationship with some of those kids and talks to them and helps them. And I can name two people. I won't, but I can name two people I'm thinking of right off the top of my head that I think are serving the Lord today because they were under Cord's tutelage. And I could start to go across this room and call out ministries that all of you have done. The important things that you maybe haven't recognized as being highly valuable. Is this okay if I go a little long today? I know I am, but here's the thing. You have a valuable ministry. Sometimes our problem is we don't see the value of what God has us doing. And sometimes things take a while. Listen, Abraham, I don't know that son of promise is going to come in 5 minutes or 5 years of working at that factory. How long did Abraham have to wait on his promise? Woo! So I believe this year God wants you to be the one who takes your ministry to new heights. And you're going to have times when you are suddenly feeling like you just walked through the gates of hell. Sometimes those gates of hell, doors are going to close and you're going to realize I still got to go there for some reason. And you're going to kick them down. because they cannot prevail against you. And you can go into someone's hell and bring those captives out. I want you to do that. Because it's fun. That's what Christians call fun. Souls saved, people healed, spirit recreation, recreating the people around you and recreating you over and over and over again. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, I have this way that I want to end the service today. Are you ready? Probably not. You never know what the pastor's going to do. But for the sake of those who are not here, I'm going to pray a prayer over you all, and then we're going to shut things down, and then we're going to do one more thing. So everybody just bow your heads a second. Papa God, the scripture says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we can see a lot of things that he does that fall under that category. But the one thing that I want to pray the most right now is for every person in this room who feels like their ministry has been stolen or damaged or killed. I'm praying that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ will come into us. Not only those of us in this room, but anybody who might watch this, even if it's years from now. I pray, Papa God, that we will come to realize every one of us is highly valued for the ministry that you have called and ordained us to do. And I pray that we will walk into those ministries now with a whole new level of revelation so that we can accomplish the purpose why you have us here. And I pray all this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.